Well, there is some hope in this crazy world. After all, the WEF globalists, the warmongers in Britain, were just put on notice. Anti-war candidate George Galloway won a crushing victory in the by-election over the weekend, and he is heading back to Parliament, where he is sworn in on this Monday, March 4th, and I can't wait to see what he does in the House of Commons. George joins us now. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. Pleasure to be back with you again, Clayton.
Always great to see you, George. And I just can't wait. I have to say, when I saw the election results, I said, all right, George, go in there and stir up some shit.
Well, it's made the best people in the world happy and made the worst people in the world as sick as parrots, as we say in Great Britain. And there's a lot of sick parrots going around in those circles you mentioned, the WEF, the warmongers, the people who wish to take us further along the road to World War III. I hope I've managed to put the brakes on at least a little bit.
Well, I hope that you can maybe knock some heads when you get there and hope that maybe some of those people will come out of the woodwork and say to you, George, you know, I'm on your side with this. You know, maybe you will provide an opportunity for other people to come out and say enough of what we're doing in Ukraine and the UK's support of unlimited weapons and support into Ukraine, Israel's ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. Over the weekend, of course, we saw the United States saying that they are going to veto a resolution condemning the massacre that just unfolded with 1,000 Palestinians surrounding an aid truck. Even though the Israeli Defense Forces have come out and said, yep, that was us, still the United States can't bring itself to admit this massacre. So maybe, do you think in the House of Commons you will start to see people coming out of the woodwork, coming to your side of things?
Well, we'll either have to change the existing parties or we'll have to change them. They'll have to basically adapt to the new politics in the country, where it's abundantly clear that our victory on Thursday was speaking for millions, or we'll have to sweep away the political representation that we have and replace them by new ones. So they can have it either way. There's some sign of the former. The Labour Party in particular will simply have to force their leader to adapt, or dozens, maybe even scores of their members of parliament will be unseated at the general election, which after all may only be weeks away. I know it's hard to imagine that, having just fought an election for 4 weeks, I might have to fight another one 4 weeks later. Although I'm ready, I'm not so sure my opponents are.
Do you anticipate, you know, we see members of parliament like Andrew Bridgen standing up to an empty room, and we herald these voices holding up an individual like Andrew and saying, he, brave, standing there in front of an empty room, telling us all about the tyranny of what they did during COVID and lockdowns and so forth, showing us the documents. I'm hoping and praying that these rooms will be full soon. I'm hoping that when you stand up, do you get the sense that that might start to happen?
Yeah, it won't be an empty room when I stand up, I can assure you. Even if most of the audience is baying, then at least their baying will be seen on television, and we'll make sure that the constituents of every last hyena that is baying are appraised of the situation, given the footage over and over and over again, because it's quite clear that we're on a roll. I mean, I'm a one-man party inside Parliament, but it's already clear that we are being treated as if we were the opposition. And I think that's partly because of our scale, if you like, but it's more about the flatness of the surrounding landscape, the two cheeks of the same backside that I talk about. The fact that Tweedledee and Tweedledum neither is more attractive or in any way different from the other. And that is all now completely stripped bare. It is all now apparent to everyone. The emperor has no clothes. It just needed someone to come along and be elected to say it.
Well, the media really wants to paint you know, it's you versus Rishi Sunak. And Rishi Sunak and saying that, you know, this is a dangerous time. It's very, very dangerous. That this is a very troubling, beyond alarming, his words. And you have Sky News. This clip has now gone viral after your victory last week, and where you have a Sky News reporter repeatedly asking you the same question over and over and over again about Rishi Sunak. And let me just play a little bit of that and get your response. Take a look.
I'm standing here at George Galloway's campaign headquarters. The Prime Minister has just said that the election of you to Parliament is beyond horrifying. What do you say to that?
Well, I can understand how disappointed he is about the by-election. The Conservative Party, which is the government of the country, was crushed, not just by me, but by an independent candidate that no one had ever heard of before. Now,
the Prime Minister is saying
that
you are...
We're talking as if this is God. We're talking about little Rishi Sunak in the fag end of his prime ministership. Don't talk to me as if he's come down from the mount with tablets of stone. The things that he says are somehow meant to awe me. They may awe you, they don't awe me. Why are you reheating it?
Because in the light of the Prime Minister's
statement... Don't keep
statement.
Telling me about the Prime Minister as if he was Moses.
Do you not respect the Prime Minister?
Do I respect the Prime Minister? I despise the Prime Minister. And guess what? Guess what? Millions and millions and millions of people in this country despise the Prime Minister. I don't respect the Prime Minister at all.
You talk to the parties.
You have to just suck it up. I won the election.
So George, they really want to make it seem like it's you are the opposition, you're the outsider, you are alarming, and Rishi Sunak is the voice of the people, he's the voice of the media, and they really want to set up this battle. What did you make of that? And now that this has gone viral,
well, somebody wrote that the bell rang, we got into the middle of the ring, I picked him up, turned him upside down, and proceeded to mop the floor of the ballroom with him, and I don't demur. From that, it was a good encounter from my point of view. But it is dangerous. It's only dangerous for Rishi Sunak and his opposite cheek, Sir Keir Starmer. It's dangerous because it exposes them. Don't forget, Clayton, it's not just that I won a crushing victory over both of the main parties of the state. The person who came in second place was an independent that literally nobody outside of Rochdale had ever heard of. He wasn't in the bookmaker's odds. He never featured once in any of the coverage of the by-election. And yet he also beat the two big parties of the state. And between him and me, we got over 60% of the vote. Actually, almost two-thirds of the people voting voted for me and an unknown independent. And virtually nobody voted for either the Conservative or Labour candidates. So that's beyond alarming for Rishi Sunak, I'm sure. But what is truly beyond alarming is that our country has been dragged by its leaders and their nominally their opposition has been dragged to the precipice of World War III. Our ships are being sunk in the Red Sea. We're bombing Yemen that we were driven out of as a colonizing power well over half a century ago. We are involved in assisting the Israeli war against women and children in Gaza. And of course, most seriously of all, we are literally on the ground, like the Germans and others, in the war against Russia over the dead bodies of the people of Ukraine, helping to provoke a nuclear cataclysm. That's what's beyond alarming.
And your message, of course, is what carried the day. It's anti-war, it's anti-empire, It's anti-transhumanism. There are two genders. You are pro-law and order. It seems crazy in 2024 that we even have to say that this should even be on the table. But in fact, here we are. I wanted to ask you before we get you out of here, George, you've been a member of parliament 7 times, if I'm not mistaken. What do you think has changed now when you enter the House of Commons, when you look back over the landscape? How drastically different is it now when you after you've left it a few years ago?
Well, you know, you took the words right out of my mouth. How amazing is it that I have to defend myself from the charge that I believe there are two genders. I believe there are men and women. I believe that God made everything in pairs. These things are hurled at me by the liberal consensus in the media and in the political class as if they were unorthodoxies of such a horrifying nature that I practically should be locked up. Well, that's the first difference, Clayton. When I first came into Parliament 37 years ago, everybody believed those things. They were the norm. Right. It would have been bizarre to suggest otherwise. But now it's bizarre to insist upon what were once normative orthodoxies. It is an extraordinary shift. I mean, there are other more subjective differences. I don't know if it's the same in the United States, but here in Britain, the political class has got so much smaller. When I entered Parliament 37 years ago, there were 100 men and women of independent mind, of great stature, recognized and respected in the land. And now I'm scouring the benches to find anyone of note, to find anyone that you even recognize, anyone that would be recognized outside of their own street. And they're all hooked up by electronic messenger services, telling them what to think, telling them what to say, telling them when the line changes from 1 hour to the next. They are automatons almost, robotically repeating these same new orthodoxies, which are the very upside down opposite of the orthodoxies in which I believe. But hey, the good news is, outside of the toxic bubble, most people think like you and me.
Right.
They don't think like Guardian leader writers, BBC television presenters, or members of today's political class. Hallelujah.
You took the word right out of my mouth. I was just about to say hallelujah. Amen. Thankfully, and we can't wait for you to stir up some shit. And I will say it's like our mutual musical hero, Bob Dylan, said, you know, things have changed, right? I think it's a long way from 37 years ago, and hopefully you can get back and restore some sanity in the House of Commons. George Galloway, congratulations on the victory, and welcome back to the House of Commons. We're thrilled. We're thrilled. I can't wait. Thanks, George.
Thank you. Love to you all.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it, and we will see you next time, everyone.